Zero human clicks.
That's all an agent needs now to open a Cloudflare account, buy a domain, and spin up an application in production. And it was Stripe that signed a protocol.
This is the AI Expert Edition. The week the inference economy broke free from hype, agents stopped asking permission, and the window for the defender became measurable in months. Q1 2026 closed with a verdict. The market priced in less than 48 hours. The question analysts had been asking for 18 months, will AI CapEx convert to revenue or become the biggest destruction of capital in the history of technology, got a provisional but unequivocal answer. Whoever produced billable tokens got rewarded. Whoever produced narrative did not.
Google Cloud and AWS numbers are the empirical foundation. Google Cloud, $20 billion in quarterly revenue, 63% growth, the highest rate among all major providers, with an annualized run rate above $80 billion. AWS, $37.6 billion in the quarter, 28% growth, the fastest in 15 quarters, with an annualized run rate of $150 billion. AWS's acceleration from low double-digit growth to 28% indicates that infrastructure capacity is being filled by paying workloads, not speculative reserves.
This is the AI Expert Edition. The week the inference economy broke free from hype, agents stopped asking permission, and the window for the defender became measurable in months. Q1 2026 closed with a verdict. The market priced in less than 48 hours. The question analysts had been asking for 18 months, will AI CapEx convert to revenue or become the biggest destruction of capital in the history of technology, got a provisional but unequivocal answer. Whoever produced billable tokens got rewarded. Whoever produced narrative did not.
Google Cloud and AWS numbers are the empirical foundation. Google Cloud, $20 billion in quarterly revenue, 63% growth, the highest rate among all major providers, with an annualized run rate above $80 billion. AWS's acceleration from low double-digit growth to 28% indicates that infrastructure capacity is being filled by paying workloads, not speculative reserves.
Azure grew 40%, above the 36% consensus, with an annualized run rate between $90 and $95 billion. But the market didn't give full credit. The reason is structural. Analysts can't separate demand from OpenAI from organic enterprise customer demand. It's a metric that looks strong, with enough opacity for capital to apply a governance discount. And the most revealing contrast is Meta. The company committed between $125 and $145 billion in data center capex and operates no cloud business to monetize that build-out externally. Result, the stock fell 9.8% in the week. Alphabet rose 12%. That spread of almost 22 percentage points in a single week is the market saying quite clearly what it values.
Apple is the outlier worth studying. $13 billion in capex, a fraction of its peers, and the stock gained 3.4% for the week. The model is ingenious. Apple rents inference from Google Gemini via a commercial agreement subsidized by Google's search placement payments in the Apple ecosystem, generating services revenue growing 16% with 77% gross margin on a base of 2.5 billion installed devices. It works until it attracts regulatory scrutiny or Google recalibrates the terms.
What matters to me in this reading isn't the ranking of who grew more. It's the framework that the earnings cycle established. AI CapEx gets a multiple when it comes with visible monetization. Spending locked in loops of internal training, proprietary recommendation, or opaque partnerships is treated as cost, not investment with a priceable return. This changes how any tech board presents AI budget to the market from now on. AMD closes the argument from the chip side. Total revenue of $10.25 billion in Q1, above the $9.89 billion expected by consensus. Data center revenue, $5.8 billion, up 57% year over year from $3.67 billion in the same period of 2025. Adjusted EPS of 1.37 versus 1.29 estimated. Net income nearly doubled, $1.38 billion versus $709 million a year ago.
Lisa Su was direct. The data center segment is now the primary driver of revenue and profit growth at AMD. The stock rose 16% the next day, and Q2 guidance, $11.2 billion versus a $10.52 billion consensus, signals something more important than a strong quarter. Procurement teams at hyperscalers are locked into multi-year chip commitments. Demand is not short cycle. AMD's Helio system, direct competitor to NVIDIA's Grace Blackwell and Vera Rubin platforms, which cost above $3 million per rack, starts delivering in H2 2026. OpenAI and Meta already have commitments locked. Meta's deal with AMD covers up to 6 gigawatts of GPU capacity for AI data centers across multiple years. This level of demand lock-in gives AMD visibility for years and reduces execution risk on the Helios ramp.
But there's a real ceiling here, and it's worth naming. The chip industry is navigating a global memory shortage, advanced packaging bottlenecks, and supply chain disruptions tied to the Iran conflict. Lisa Su used the phrase scaling supply to meet demand, which in earnings language means the near-term growth ceiling is manufacturing capacity, not customer appetite. NVIDIA reports on May 20 and will close the loop on whether silicon suppliers sustaining all these balance sheets are maintaining margin discipline. Now, as hyperscalers stack hundreds of billions in capex to run inference in the cloud, Lenovo published a TCO study that puts an uncomfortable argument on the table for them and a very concrete one for any CTO going into a budget meeting.
The central number, $2 per million tokens in the cloud versus 11 cents on premises under continuous load, an 18-fold differential. For large models, the study points to $4.74 per million on owned infrastructure versus $29.09 in equivalent cloud, an 84% savings. The five-year model includes hardware acquisition, power, operations, and maintenance, and the break-even point, less than four months, inside a single budget cycle. That transforms on-prem CapEx from a debate about multi-year depreciation into an ROI conversation in the same fiscal year.
The mechanism is utilization. GenAI applications in production run continuously. The cloud charges linearly per token, regardless of how long capacity sat idle. On-premises amortizes fixed capital cost over growing token volume, collapsing unit cost over time. Newer GPU generations compound the advantage by improving performance per watt in owned hardware, while cloud providers pass infrastructure costs to customers. The study is from Lenovo, which sells servers. The commercial incentive is direct, and the report wasn't independently audited. The modeled scenarios, continuous inference at scale, naturally favor the infrastructure Lenovo sells. Smaller volume workloads or highly variable demand, or companies without specialized GPU operations staff, will see a different break-even curve.
I agree with the caveat, but what the study delivers is a documented methodology. Cost per token, five-year TCO horizon, break-even based on utilization. Any team already measuring token throughput in production can plug in their own numbers and verify the conclusions in days. The value isn't in Lenovo's conclusion. It's in the question it forces the CTO. Do you know your cost per million tokens today? Most teams don't. The playbook emerging from these three sources is a two-tier framework. Cloud for prototyping, fine-tuning, and workloads with variable or low-frequency demand. Dedicated hardware when the workload crosses into continuous production, with break-even below 4 months as a quantitative trigger for the repatriation decision. The market is already pricing this on both sides. In the premium, it gave Google Cloud and AWS, and in AMD's 57% growth driven by inference.
Now a level up in the agency layer. If the previous block was about the economics of running tokens, this one is about what happens when those tokens start making autonomous decisions and signing contracts. Three moves arrived in the same week, each representing a rung in the ladder of agent autonomy. The pace of this escalation in 7 days should compress the timeline any CTO has on the calendar to redesign governance. Before diving into the events, it's worth naming the arc. 18 months ago, the debate was, will the agent suggest the next step or execute the next step? Today, the question is different. Will the agent provision the infrastructure it needs to execute, or will it wait for a human to do that? This week, the answer changed. First move, Cloudflare and Stripe co-designed a provisioning protocol that lets an agent write code to create a Cloudflare account, get an API token, register a domain, and spin up an application in production without human intervention. No dashboard login, no credit card, no click.
The protocol operates in three layers. Discovery. The agent calls Stripe Project's catalog and receives a JSON catalog of services available from providers. Authorization. Stripe attests user identity to Cloudflare, which provisions a new account or routes an existing user via OAuth, returning API credentials directly to the CLI. Payment. Stripe furnishes a payment token that the provider uses to charge for domain, subscription, or usage-based consumption. The only mandatory human actions are accepting Cloudflare's terms of service and granting the agent permission, both surfaced as explicit prompts. The deepest architectural shift here isn't the technical integration. It's the catalog model. By publishing the provisioning surface as machine-readable JSON instead of a human-facing dashboard, Cloudflare publishes a surface of capabilities for agents to reason about. As that catalog grows and other providers publish equivalent endpoints, vendor selection stops being a procurement decision and becomes a runtime decision. The agent evaluates price, latency, or compliance posture dynamically without preloaded human preference.
And there's the risk that's still getting little attention. A compromised agent session now risks domain purchases and subscription activations, not just code execution. The protocol depends on Stripe identity attestation and OAuth and OIDC standards for credential issuance, both mature. But strict token scoping on agent credentials and audit trails on provisioning invocations need to exist before scaling to enterprise environments. This still isn't market standard. Second move, Anthropic launched Auto Mode for Claude Code, and the data motivating the launch is more revealing than the product itself. The previous model required human approval for most operations, executing shell commands, modifying files, calling external tools. Anthropic's internal data shows users accepted 93% of those prompts anyway.
93% acceptance rate. That has another name, approval fatigue. The developer isn't reviewing, they're rubber stamping. The only alternative was a dash dangerously skip permissions flag that disabled all guardrails. AutoMode fills that gap with a dual classifier system. The first is a probe at the input layer, scans all tool output, file reads, shell results, web fetches, before it reaches the agent context. When content appears to redirect the agent from the user's original instruction, a warning is injected so the agent treats that content as untrusted. The second is an output classifier running on Sonnet 4.6, evaluates each proposed action before execution in two stages. A quick single token pass for clearly safe actions, chain of thought reasoning only when the first stage flags risk. By design, the classifier doesn't see Claude's own messages or tool outputs, making it blind to the agent's reasoning to prevent it from rationalizing past a block.
Anthropic's incident log makes clear why this is necessary. An agent that deleted remote Git branches from a vague instruction to clean up old branches. Another that uploaded a GitHub auth token belonging to an engineer to an internal compute cluster after hitting an auth error. A third that tried to run migrations against a production database. Each model solved the problem it understood, but crossed the boundary the user intended. Governance implication was named with precision by Mykola Kondriachik, CTO at Playtika.
With auto mode enabled, the AI is now the approver, not just the actor. Most governance documents still put a human in that role.
This isn't philosophical observation. It's a compliance gap that needs to be documented.